You are listening to Beefcake's Bootcamp, the last stop before deploying to the front lines in the fight against white genocide. All right, troops, Beefcake back here again, and we have some things to discuss this time. It still revolves a little bit around what happened with the Tinley Park incident, but I'm going to use it as an example to explain why we never do anything violent and why we also never break any laws. And as I've said before, this is about taking the moral high ground away from our enemy, because they've had the illusion of having the moral high ground for a long time. And one thing that's come out in this that we've noticed on a lot of news articles in the comment sections covering this, you know, when because of our swarm members who are going in and pointing out that these people were just freely assembling and talking about white genocide and that they're being attacked because of it, and they're using it as a platform to spread the mantra. Another thing that's been happening, too, is that we're noticing a lot of non-swarm member posters are saying comments like, well, this actually makes the racists look like the good guys here. They might have an unpopular opinion, but if they're not doing anything violent or suggesting anything illegal, you should just let them go and discuss whatever they're going to discuss. If you're worried they're planning on something illegal, why don't you just go in their group with a recorder and record what they're saying if they have nothing to hide? And if you go and you start doing violent things to oppress someone else's viewpoint, no matter how unpopular, it just, you know, it makes them look like the good guys. Well, guys, that's good. I mean, I've been seeing a number of these posts coming around, and there are a lot of people who are reading these comments. Remember, you've got 5 to 20 people who are lurking and reading comments for every single person posting them, and a lot of people that are going to agree with us are going to be afraid to speak their mind. Well, why are they afraid to speak their mind? Well, because they know there are violent criminals out attacking people for having the wrong opinion. You know, the idea that white people actually have a right to preserve our race, that that's an inalienable human right, and that telling us we don't have a right to preserve our own people is actually advocating genocide. Well, that's not a popular opinion. But now that we have our mantra and we have a way to point out the double standard, the conditions imposed on our race that leads to the destruction of our race, and use it to point out the moral bankruptcy of our enemies, it gives us a platform to talk about it when something violent happens, for one. And two, it also validates us. One thing that you can't do when you do something violent, it validates your opposition. This is the reason I want us to stay away from anything that would be a retaliation kind of an attack in the pro-white community. I want us to avoid doing anything that would look like a retaliation against these guys. I know that most recently they've been still attacking the victims of the violent attack with illegal things like identity theft, hacking emails, sending people death threats. Yes, they've been involved in these things. That's what's being reported over at Stormfront by people who are in the situation. I was one of the names on the list. I haven't personally gotten any death threats yet, but I consider it threatening when there's a threat issued to everybody on the list and my name and face is on the list, you know, and I personally take security very seriously, and, you know, I keep my house pretty locked down pretty securely. I've got a conceal and carry and stuff like that. But the thing is, they can still use the information to harm you because of your unpopular opinion. You know, they want to threaten to let our employers know how I feel. A couple people have said their family members have been called. I haven't been called and given any death threats directly to me yet, besides the list situation. But nonetheless, you know, it brings up the thing. I really don't like having to be armed. And I would never do anything with that violently in retaliation. And I'd prefer not to have to use anything like that in self-defense. I don't personally like firearms for personal reasons and bad experiences in the past that I'm not going to go into detail about here. But nonetheless, I hate the fact that I feel like I need to have it with me, you know. But even if we are armed, we're not going to go do anything in retaliation. Simply because anything violent validates our opposition. When I say that, I mean, you know, if you have to do something to defend you and your family, if someone is actually going to track you down and attack you, you have the right to defend yourself. You have the right to defend your family, and I know most of our guys in our community do, have things to defend themselves. Most people have that as far as you know, don't have any criminal record or anything like that, that can legally own firearms. Well, most pro-whites who can legally own firearms usually do have them. But nonetheless, I still, it doesn't matter to me. I still take death threats very seriously, and I don't want to ever have to pull this thing out and use it. Besides the firing range to make sure that my skill level with it stays good, I don't ever take it out of the holster ever, except for cleaning and practice. But I don't like having to have it, and I would never do anything with it out of aggravation or retaliation or anything like that. As much as we might feel justified in doing something like that because of what these scumbags are doing, again, it doesn't matter. You know, my personal name is on their list. I don't care. I'm not going to do anything in retaliation against them. I don't agree with violence or violent acts. The only reason I have this is because I take threats very seriously, and I do have a right to defend myself if someone comes after myself or my family. But other than that, we're not going to do any retaliations. By keeping things consistent with the law, by staying on the side of the law, even if you have a politically unpopular opinion, it makes it much harder for any enemies of ours that could be in law enforcement to do anything bad to us. And it also makes it much easier for friends that we have in law enforcement to help us out. Yes, that's true. Pro-whites have some friends in law enforcement. Why? Well, a lot of law enforcement officers have learned the reality of race the hard way. So we have friends. We do have friends. Be polite when dealing with law enforcement. Don't be a jerk and see them as the evil oppressors. Even if you don't agree with the laws or the situations, we still are going to be respectful of law enforcement. I want us to work within the law, because whenever you break the law, it's not just violence that validates the enemy. I just think it sounds nice. Violence validates. It validates the enemy, but we don't do anything illegal either. I know these guys are engaged in identity theft and stuff like that, or at least they're trying to track down people's personal information, trying to hack email accounts and all that kind of stuff. Like I said, do as good as you can with your personal security. Keep what you feel is necessary to defend your home for in case someone attempts a home invasion or something like that. But we don't go on the attack with anything illegal. We don't try to match their tactics. You pick good passwords for your email accounts, but don't hack their information and put up information publicly. You know, that's stuff that they're engaged in doing. Well, that's illegal. The stolen information counts as identity theft. Last time I checked, that's what that would fall under. It's illegal any way you slice it, whichever laws it falls under. You do not have the legal right to access somebody else's private information and make that information public without their consent. So that's illegal. And when they do things like this, remember, this is a war of words for the hearts and minds of our people. They are not winning people over to their side morally by what they're doing. Anyone who's already anti-white is already anti-white. They're not going to convince anyone else to be anti-white by breaking the law, especially not against people who are being peaceful, nonviolent, and law-abiding. So long as you are not breaking any laws, law enforcement can help us out, and we have friends in law enforcement. I guarantee you, we have friends in there that want to help us out, but they can't help you out if you break any laws. And so, you know, if you don't feel safe traveling to a state that does not value your conceal and carry permit, then don't travel to that state if you don't feel safe there. If you do feel fine going there, go ahead. But again, if you break a law, you make us look bad. It just doesn't look good if that happens. So avoid breaking laws. That's an important thing for us. I want us to stay inside the law, because if you ever break the law, the enemy can use that against us. And right now, because our enemies are tied in with these violent thugs that believe in oppressing somebody else's opinion with violence, that have the audacity to call us fascist when they actually happen to be the ones out there trying to oppress a viewpoint they don't like with violence, they're actually fitting the definition of fascist themselves, although we're going to call them anti-white. If you're going to call them fascists, call them anti-white fascists. You got to have anti-white in there. You can experiment with calling them fascist, but don't ever forget to put anti-white beforehand. I want to make that distinction very clear. And I will say I like my race best of all because it's my own race. You know, I'm loyal to my own race. And again, that's not saying anything negative about anyone else. So if I have any non-white listeners on here or any black listeners that want to say the different names that you guys have for traitors amongst your own people, I like to use it as an example. The point is nobody likes traitors. And in this case with what our race is dealing with right now, we have anti-white traitors who are engaged in violent, criminal, illegal behavior against people who are white and simply have an opinion that our race has a right to exist. And they call us all sorts of names like supremacist and racist and, you know, all the different names that mean heresy. You know, nobody's going to flood every single Asian country with non-Asians and try to force blend them out of existence by forcing integration on them, forcing them to live with each other, forcing them to hire the non-Asians, and then telling them that the solution to all their race problems is for them to all interbreed until there are no more Asian people left, and then all their race problems will be over. Nobody's doing that in Asian countries and all Asian countries, and then calling them supremacist or racist or whatever other name means heresy for not getting with the program of their own genocide. But in white countries, not only do we have it being pushed by anti-white leaders at the top, we got anti-white criminals running around targeting us and having the audacity to call us fascists because we have an opinion they don't agree with. And by the way, the only reason I'm condoning using anti-white fascists in order to describe these criminals, is because in this case it really does fit and it points out their double standard and what they're doing actually makes them the fascist. The definition of fascist isn't only having racial loyalty to your own race. In fact, racial subjects can go along with a fascist party. You know, they racial loyalty can go with fascism, but it is not a necessary component of fascism. The key component that makes fascism fascism is oppressing other viewpoints, opinions, and political criticism with force. It's forcing opinions that you don't like to be silenced by using violence. That's the definition of fascism. It's making it illegal to have a different opinion, or it's silencing other opinions with force. That's what defines fascism. Now, there have been fascist governments in the past that did silence opposing views with force. And by the way, I'm personally not a fan of totalitarian rule. You know, I don't like governments that have such a strong lockdown on people. For one, they don't seem to last very long term, except North Korea. But in white countries, they don't seem to have the best long-term longevity. I see it sort of an analogy of somebody trying to hold on to a bar of soap as hard as they can. What happens when you grab a wet bar of soap as hard as you can? Yeah, you lose the soap. White people tend to like freedom in general, but you know there are all these libertarians out there that love their freedoms and all that kind of stuff. But the one thing that they forget is if you don't define which race it's for, all those wonderful freedoms can be taken away from you just by allowing a whole lot of non-members of your race into your country that might think differently than you. They all vote and they change the rules that keep you having your freedoms. It's a potential thing that can happen. So there, you know, I'm not saying I agree with a totalitarian government, but at the same time, you need to have some rules to keep your country, whatever race it is, if there are people who willingly want to genocide your people by flooding it with non-members of your race, force integrating you, getting you to all breed together until your race doesn't exist. And you need to have some laws in place eventually to prevent that. However, totalitarian rule is totally different. You know, if there's an all-white country somewhere, I don't want to see it be totalitarian. But then again, I'm not the guy who is great at coming up with all sorts of ideas to run a society anyway. I got my little opinions on that stuff, but that stuff's small potatoes. The bottom line is right now we don't even have a home. I mean, when you're drowning, you need air. You know, I want my race to survive and still exist in 1,000 years. I'm not going to be picky about what kind of government they have, so long as it ensures the preservation of our race. That's all I ask. You know, I'm not going to make the rules for other decisions in society that I'm not good with coming up with. All I want to know is my race gets to survive long term. We get to have a place exclusive for our own people to preserve our own race, and that's as far into it as I want to look. And I'm not an advocate of totalitarian rule. I don't really want to live under a totalitarian system without freedoms, or that suppresses other opinions with violence and force and stuff like that. I don't like that stuff. But people that want to suppress our opinions, the opinion that our race has a right to exist and that white genocide is wrong, people that want to suppress that opinion with violence and crimes against us, they validate our opinions. You know, that's one of the reasons why, if you make it illegal and punishable with violence for people to say something, you actually validate what they're saying, because it exposes that you're saying a truth that you're not allowed to say, and that they're going to try to silence you for it. A funny thing about white people, now it might be it might be something that's universal to all human tribes, but it's something that I at least know exists in my race, is that when people are being silenced by force, it tends to actually capture the hearts and minds of the people. Look at the history of various religions that were oppressed with force at various times in history. They spread faster than you could imagine. It's like the forbidden fruit. You know, you tell people they can't have something, they want it even more. And so when people are being oppressed with violence and force, it actually makes people take a look at their viewpoint. It gets the attention they want to their opinions, and then people take a look at those opinions. What these anti-white thugs are doing, it brings attention to us. And remember, anyone who's already anti-white is already anti-white. Their violent actions are not going to convince anyone else to become violent. However, they may get the attention of that sleeping white titan, and it's not going to be on their side when it wakes up. When that sleeping white titan realizes that these anti-white fascist thugs, who are trying to oppress the opinion that our viewpoint on our race having a right to exist, when that sleeping white titan wakes up to that, it does something about it. And like I said about our enemy, they love to roll in gray goo. Remember, there's a podcast. I go into more detail about it, but gray goo is that these microscopic machines is a theoretical doomsday concept. You know, it eventually destroys an entire planet. It consumes everything because these self-replicating machines turn every other material they touch into themselves. And since there's so many, like countless of them, that they just looks like a gray goo to the human eyes, but it consumes everything it touches. There's nothing you can do about it. You throw water on it, the water becomes more gray goo. The ground underneath it becomes gray goo. The last thing you want to do is roll in gray goo, and our message about white genocide is gray goo. And when these guys go out there and they want to get violent with us, it's like attacking gray goo with baseball bats and hammers. It's not a good idea to do that. You're just going to spread that gray goo even faster. I mean, the gray goo will eventually get you. Our message is eventually going to save our race. We're going to eventually get enough land exclusive to our own people for our own long-term preservation. You know, I don't think we're anyone here is talking about resegregating the whole planet or anything like that. If anyone is, they're in the minority even within our group. We just want enough land to preserve our own people long term. I don't know exactly how much land that's going to be, but nobody here is talking about taking over the world. Okay, we just want enough land for our long-term sustenance and our own long-term preservation, so that our race doesn't go extinct due to being blended out with everybody else, as is being forced on us everywhere we live right now. We want to stop put to that. We don't want to be blended out of existence. And our message is key to us getting what we need to preserve ourselves and waking up people's eyes to the realization that it's an inalienable human right for an entire race of people to preserve the existence of their race, and that to tell them they shouldn't do so is genocide. You know, this is something that is an obvious truth that when it's exposed to people enough times and they hear it over and over, they start to understand it and they get it. And they realize the enemy's terminology is a mountain of lies. And our truthful message, our truth forged into a weapon, the mantra, pulls out the cornerstone of those lies, and the whole mountain of bullshit comes toppling down under its own weight. Well, that will eventually result in the preservation of our race. This is, in a way, in a war of words, this is our salvation. When our enemy does something violent, they're only expediting the process because it brings attention to us. That's why I put out the red alert to the swarm right after that violent attack. And I still want you guys looking for news articles that have to do with this story. Say, nobody's flooding every single black country with non-blacks, trying to force blend them out of existence by force integrating them and telling them that the solution to any race problems caused by them not getting along is for them to all interbreed together until there's only one race, then everybody gets along and all the race problems are over in only black countries, and then calling any black person a supremacist if he's opposed to his own genocide. We go in those forums, we post that out, just like I said in that red alert, you guys know what to do, and now we can actually point out that our enemies are using violence in order to try and suppress us from being able to tell people this. They're so desperate that about us talking about white genocide because they support the genocide of our race so viciously that they want to become violent and commit crimes against anybody who has our opinion. What they're doing is they're validating our opinion. Our opinion is already valid. We do have a right to preserve our race in the face of genocide. Our race doesn't deserve genocide, and we have a right to exist. We never did anything to lose the right to preserve our own people, and telling us we did is advocating genocide, which is a crime under international law. Our opinion is already valid, but it brings attention to and validates our opinion even faster by their violent criminal actions against us. When we look like the victim, again, that creates a sense of victimhood amongst non-victims. As a race, as Horace has pointed out a number of times, our race is a group of non-victims. We are capable of some great things. You know, we're not the kind of group that can be pushed around easily. You know, it doesn't happen like that unless we have traitors within our own group. And that's what we're facing right now. And these guys want to make us look like victims. Well, when they do that, they bring attention to our message. And that's what we want. We want attention brought to our message. Now, we don't want violence to happen against us. We don't want our families getting harmed or death threats and all these things that are happening. However, if the enemy is going to go there and they're going to make these mistakes, I want us to avoid any form of retaliation and any form of illegal actions or crimes against them. As justified as you feel, I know it sucks. I know I'm basically telling you to not retaliate when somebody has done something against you and your family. I'm not telling you not to defend yourself. You still have the right to defend yourself. I'm not going to tell you to go sell your gun. If you legally own a firearm for your own personal protection and you have a conceal and carry permit, I'm not going to tell you to go get rid of what's necessary to defend you and your family. By all means, have that stuff. That's great. So long as you're not breaking any laws, go ahead and defend yourself and your family. Look up the laws on self-defense, because if you ever have to, you want to know the laws involved in it. That's important. We want to stay inside the law. I will never tell you not to defend yourself. It's just a basic rule I picked up when I was in the military. It's one of the basics. You always have the right to defend yourself, but you do not have the right to retaliate. At least you don't have it under the law in our country right now. And part of practical politics is you do everything under the law without ever breaking the law. Because when you break the law, it validates your opponent. And so we don't want to do that. That is tactically a massive error to do anything illegal. Avoid doing anything illegal out of retaliation to these anti-white thugs. These anti-white fascists who want to oppose our viewpoint on white genocide with force, which is the definition of fascist, you dum-dums, anti-white morons, you. You're rolling in gray goo. The reason it pisses me off is because it's threatening our people and our family. We don't like that, obviously, but I do got to give you congratulations. You are doing a good job helping us spread our message. And that is ultimately the important thing. And we're not going to do illegal things to you in retaliation. In fact, if you even want to take a look at what you're doing yourselves, I want you to actually look up the definition of self-righteous. The definition of it, under the definition, you will actually find things like doing violent things against people you disagree with because you're so sure you're right. You're so sure you have the moral right to do so. Now, I don't know how many of you are Christians or not. It's funny. I find people that are anti-religion in both the pro-white and anti-white community, as well as I find devout Christians in both the anti-white and pro-white community. It's why we're not attaching the mantra to any religious message of any kind. But regardless of what your faith or lack thereof is, self-righteousness includes certain behaviors like thinking you have the right to go do violent things to people just because they have an opinion different than yours. I don't think that way, and I don't want to see anyone who's on our message, any pro-whites of any kind, even if you don't like the mantra. I think you should. I think you should use it, learn to use it, learn to use the mini mantras and the talking points. But nonetheless, if you're pro-white, you're white and normal, and you don't agree with white genocide, at the very least, avoid breaking any laws, avoid doing anything violent. If you know anybody who is advocating doing anything violent or anything like that, I would get away from them. I would distance myself from them, stop communicating with them. Anyone who's advocating breaking any laws or anything like that of any kind, distance yourself from them, because those could be plants. They could be people in the enemy camp who are in our camp trying to get us to break laws and do something illegal. We don't want to. If I didn't know better, I'd think that there were plants in the ARA, the anti-racist code word for anti-white action gang. I think they actually have plants in their gang trying to get them to do violent things, because these plants know that them doing anything violent like they've been engaged in actually brings attention to our message. It's basically convincing them to go roll in gray goo in the most dangerous way possible. I mean, it's like taking a speedboat into gray goo. Your propeller's flint. Well, I suppose your propeller's just going to dissolve and you're going to sink in the gray goo. But everyone's going to get the attention. Hey, look at that guy out there on the gray goo in his boat. You know, it's like someone's trying to get someone to try flowing a boat onto gray goo. You're marching your enemy off a cliff when you're in their camp and you're trying to get them to do something like this. You know, it just brings attention to our message, and it validates our message when our enemy does something this violent. Well, we want to avoid making the same mistake they're making. And if anyone out there is suggesting that we try retaliating with the same tactics that they're using, breaking laws, for example, I want us to distance ourselves from that, get away from anyone who advocates doing anything illegal, because when they're doing that, they could be a plant trying to get us to make the same mistake that our enemies are making. I want us to avoid that mistake. So again, and Horace has talked about this too, it's one of those things that we should all agree on very easily, that you validate your enemy's position when you do anything violent or illegal. So keep working on the mantra, keep spreading the mantra around, keep using the mini mantras, keep talking about white genocide and tie every subject you can back to white genocide. Keep pointing out those double standards, troops, keep pointing out the internal contradictions, and avoid doing anything that validates the enemy's opinion. You guys have a good day. You know what to do, and you know what to avoid. All right, platoon, that's it for today's lesson. I want you to go drop the mantra 50 times and report back.